Hello and welcome to the Lane Cassette Podcast. And today I'll be covering the third and final film in the Austin Powers franchise, Austin Powers in Goldmember. The name of the movie's title is a playoff of James Bond's Goldfinger. MGM, who produces the James Bond films, took issue with the title of the movie. This was resolved on the condition that they show trailers for the upcoming James Bond movie, Die Another Day. Mike Myers wrote the script along with Michael McCullers. Jay Roach directs for the third time. New Line Cinema distributed again. George Clinton handled the music while Peter Deming was a cinematographer. Mike Myers stars again as Austin Powers, Dr. Evil, Fat Bastard, and the new villain, Goldmember. Beyoncé Knowles, this was back when she had a last name, makes her theatrical film debut playing Foxy Cleopatra. Austin's new partner and recipient of Austin's sexual advances. Michael Caine stars as Austin's father, Nigel Powers. Michael York, Robert Wagner, Rob Lowe, Seth Green, Vern Troyer, and Mindy Sterling all return as Basil Exposition, Number 2, Young Number 2, Scott Evil, Mini-Me, and Frau Farbissina, respectively, though a lot of those roles are scaled down quite a bit. We also get a fuck ton of cameos from Tom Cruise, Danny DeVito, Gwyneth Paltrow, Kevin Spacey, Steven Spielberg, Quincy Jones, John Travolta, Britney Spears, The Osbournes, yes, this was a thing back then, naturally featuring Ozzy, Sharon, Kelly, and Jack, Willie Nelson, Burt Bacharach, and Katie Couric. Austin Powers and Goldmember was released at July 26, 2002, and debuted at number 1 at the box office and made $73 million that weekend. That mark set the highest debut for a July movie up until that time, beating out the Tim Burton Mark Wahlberg Planet of the Apes remake from the previous year. Goldmember eventually brought in $297 million against its $63 million budget, making it a financial success. Well, let's see if this movie itself succeeds in being watchable. We open up with a helicopter chasing a motorcycle somewhere in Utah. We see what appears to be Austin skydiving into his car, which is driving itself. And he aids the blonde on the motorcycle while the chopper shoots at her. We can see Dr. Evil's logo on the side of it. The chopper and Austin play chicken, and Austin ejects from his car while it's being shot at, and he shoots the chopper as he flips over top of it. The chopper blows up, and we get a dramatic pan up from Austin's feet, and he takes his glasses off, and it's Tom Cruise. Tom gives Austin's famous, "Yeah, baby," line, and we see... It is a movie, apparently, about Austin? The blonde gets off the bike, and it's Gwyneth Paltrow, who introduces herself as Dixie Normus. So, is she supposed to be transgender, then? She says she's a single mom, so I guess not. Kevin Spacey took time away from sexually harassing any man he could to cameo as Dr. Evil, and his mini-me is Danny DeVito. The name of the movie within the movie is Austin Pussy, no doubt a take on the James Bond film titled Octopussy. They yell cut, and Steven Spielberg asks the real Austin what he thinks. When Austin goes to give Steven his opinion, Steven introduces Austin to his Oscar statue, and Austin starts dancing like a dickhead again as opening credits start up. Austin introduces Quincy Jones, who appears to be scoring the movie within the movie, and Austin wanders into a Britney Spears music video. Austin dodges her tic guns as she is a fembot, and he says, "Oops, I did it again." Fucking hilarious. We cut to Dr. Evil's Hollywood lair, which is behind the Hollywood sign. Number 2 pitches his idea to make legitimate money, a Hollywood talent agency. Number 2 says that they were able to sign some of Hollywood's biggest stars by taking a 9% cut instead of the normal 10%. Number 2 introduces his assistant, Number 3, who has a giant mole under his nose. Dr. Evil tells them he finally has a perfect plan and shows a PowerPoint-esque presentation about Johann van der Schmoot, who lived in the 70s. Van der Schmoot had a tractor beam and What he wanted to use was with his tractor beam was to pull a meteor to Earth, which is what Dr. Evil intends to do, only he intends to have them crash in the North Pole, like the polar ice caps, and cause the Earth to flood. Dr. Evil has a Mini-Me in like a backpack type thing on his front, and Mini-Me keeps falling asleep during this presentation. Some comedy there. Apparently, Goldmember's member is Gold as well. Dr. Evil wakes Mini-Me up by giving him chocolate. Number 3 brings Dr. Evil a chair, and he about freaks out over Number 3's mole. We get some banter between Scott and Dr. Evil, and Dr. Evil calls his new plan Preparation H. We get ass jokes here for a while, as you can imagine. He plans to go back to the 70s and to bring the tractor beam and Goldmember back to present day. However, Austin and his team bust in and arrest Dr. Evil and Mini-Me. The World Organization sentenced him and Mini-Me to over 400 years. And we see a news recap that also mentions Austin's dad, Nigel. Austin is knighted at Buckingham Palace, and the crowd laughs at him when he calls out to his dad, and his dad's chair is empty. We cut to Austin's pad, and Austin is singing Daddy Wasn't There, and this scene was actually a music video that got heavy rotation in the summer that this was released. After he is done with his performance, a fan named Fook Me wants his autograph, and we get some name play. We meet her twin sister, Fook You. He is about to have a threesome with the twins when Basil arrives and tells Austin his father has been kidnapped. Some of the sailors from Nigel's yacht come in and drop their pants to reveal their penises are gold. Austin and Basil say Dr. Evil is the only one who can understand this type of evilness. We go to Dr. Evil's prison cell where Austin goes to see him. Evil mocks Austin for his daddy issues, and we get a flashback to Austin graduating from the British Intelligence Academy in 1958, where Austin was apparently roommates with Dr. Evil. This is the first mention of this in three movies. Basil was also in their class, as was Number 2. Dr. Evil was the front runner for that year's International Man of Mystery. At the ceremony, however, Austin wins the title, and Austin goes to thank his dad at the ceremony, but his daddy wasn't there. We come back to the present day. Dr. Evil says he will help Austin if Austin can get him transferred to a regular prison so he can be with Mini-Me. He agrees, and Dr. Evil tells him Goldmember is in the year 1975 at Studio 69 in New York City. Austin gets ready to go back to the 70s at the Ministry of Defense hangar in a car from the 70s. He hits a button, and it's a lowrider with hydraulics, and it bounces a bit before it disappears. Austin arrives at Studio 69 in 1975 and looks like a white version of Huggy Bear from the Dukes of Hazzard. He is immediately taken with the female singer who introduces Goldmember, who roller skates through the club with a posse of women. While the girl group continue to sing a song that must be titled Goldmember, finally this ends and a guy sits down next to Austin and starts talking. Problem is that this white dude has the voice of a black lady. Turns out the singer, who is sitting on the other side of this dude, is using him to talk to Austin. Not sure how, but that's supposed to be the comedy. She introduces herself as Foxy Cleopatra. She said that they can't be seen talking to each other, and she is pissed because she never got another call from Austin after their apparent rendezvous before he was frozen. Austin does what he does and turns on the charm. She tells Austin that her partner was murdered the year before, and she is working undercover here because Goldmember is the prime suspect. She tells Austin his dad is being guarded in the back room, so Austin goes to bust in, only to find his dad in bed with four beautiful ladies about to fuck. Nigel reluctantly agrees to leave. Then they speak what they call English English in front of the girls and basically use a bunch of English sayings and such, which luckily for us we get closed captions for. Suddenly the bed rotates 180 degrees and they are all in Goldmember's office with Goldmember and Foxy Cleopatra, who is filing Goldmember's nails. There are a couple of other women aiming guns at them while Goldmember gives them and us more of his backstory. He offers them various breakfast foods and various tobacco and weed products to go with them. Goldmember is set to take Nigel to 2002 and kill Austin, but Foxy saves Austin from getting shot and reveals she is on Austin's side. Reveals to Goldmember she is. Goldmember and Nigel jump through the portal and leave, Nigel quite by force. The girls shoot at Austin and Foxy as they make their escape in his car. Foxy brings microfilm she found in Goldmember's office, which she believes could be a clue. She tells Austin she wants to go to the future with him, and he agrees to it and hits the button on the car. I don't remember this microfilm being any sort of big deal one way or another, so I wonder if it's something they put in there and never followed through on. But I never remember them mentioning this microfilm again. Then we cut to the Georgia State Prison. Dr. Evil is getting a visit from Frau Farbissina in jail, who tells Dr. Evil that Scott wants to take over the family business. He is happy to hear that and tells Frau he was adopted, and we get a flashback to when he was a baby in the car with his mother. The car blew up, but her body formed a protective barrier around him. Whatever. Then his parents, he told us about in the first movie, found him while they looted the car and took him and raised him to be evil. Frau and Dr. Evil have a grotesque makeout session in which we see she slipped him the handcuff key in her mouth. Back inside the belly of the prison, Dr. Evil tries to get his fellow inmates to start a riot. We get a cameo from Tiny Lister, famously from No Holds Barred, well, maybe not as famously, and Friday. And he actually was the inmate in The Dark Knight who, when they're on the boat there and the Joker gives them the detonators and says they have to choose which boat to blow up, and he's the prisoner who comes up and grabs it and tosses it out the window. Well, he tells them to pretty much fuck off. And then we get dancing and rapping from Dr. Evil to Hard Knock Life. This was also a music video during the summer of 2002. Coming out of that bullshit, they agree to start a riot at 8 p.m. After some silliness with the guards having the spotlight on Dr. Evil and Mini-Me, they manage to make their escape. The guards would get the light on them, they'd run out of it and be in a goofy pose and keep running back and forth. It was good shit, pal. We cut to Austin and Foxy the next morning. Some flirting, and Austin explains the concept of the internet to Foxy. Basil shows up and informs them Dr. Evil escaped, but they have a mole inside his organization. That mole was the man with the literal giant mole on his face, number 3. He informs them that Dr. Evil has a new lair outside of Tokyo, Japan. Austin can't stop staring at the mole, which number 3 acknowledges. And Austin still continues to just say mole the whole time. We go to Dr. Evil's sub, which is basically a statue of him, and it approaches Tokyo. Goldmember is now part of Dr. Evil's inner circle. He likes to peel off his skin and eat it to the disgust of everyone, including the audience. We get a rundown of his plan, Preparation H. The gist is the tractor beam will pull the meteor, codenamed Midas 22, down to Earth and crash into the polar ice caps, causing the global flood I mentioned earlier. Some comedy when he goes to demonstrate on the models. There's a giant Earth model that gets lowered and smashes on his fucking head. And then the meteor swings and hits him in the nuts, and that was actually pretty fucking hilarious. It's probably the funniest thing in the whole franchise, truthfully. And I gotta say, though, for the most part, the Dr. Evil stuff was kind of the highlight of the first two movies for me, and this movie, really, except for the meteor nut shot, is just kind of blah. Goldmember brings in Nigel. Nigel takes out two henchmen, and the third just falls down. Dr. Evil seems impressed by Nigel, but Mini-Me gets a gun on him and takes him back to his room. Nigel tells Mini-Me that his cohorts treat him like shit and asks him to see if he is totally in proportion everywhere, so he drops his pants, and apparently he has a tripod, or a kickstand, or a third leg, whatever, because he has a huge Johnson, you see. And some more jokes, and Mini-Me seems to like Nigel. The whole thing was just weird. Like, Who at why would you ask someone that? Oh, let me see what you got there. What the fuck, man? Must have been Kevin Spacey's input on the film. Austin's plane arrives in Tokyo. He and Foxy actually get a call on a cell phone instead of their little FaceTime car thing there. And the call warns them that one of Dr. Evil's henchmen has been spotted. So Austin and Foxy go to a sumo match, and it's Fat Bastard. Fat Bastard easily wins his match, but Austin sees an envelope exchange between Fat Bastard and what looks to be a businessman, which is another thing that I believe just goes nowhere. Foxy disguises herself as a geisha girl, pushing a laundry cart with Austin inside. The sumos throw their traditional man thong in the cart, grossing Austin out, and he finally jumps out and flips the fuck out when Fat Bastard throws his in, especially after Fat Bastard implied he left some shit in it. He and Austin have a fight after some banter, and Austin wins after this foolishness, including when Austin runs through a little sumo bath that's in the middle, and all the sumos are in the thing on their back, and Austin runs on their belly, and Fat Bastard goes to jump over him, and then we acknowledge he's on a wire harness, and he gets caught up, and it's great for everyone involved. Austin ends up cutting him down, and he gives up the name Mr. Roboto. Is helping. Dr. Evil builds something, which is, of course, the tractor beam. But Fat Bastard really doesn't seem to know much. He knows that, but he tells them he's going legit after an attempt at a heartfelt speech. He farts and carries on about that fart afterwards, so we get that goodness. Back on Dr. Evil's sub, Scott shows up balding like a motherfucker. Scott has them open the tank in the floor, and he shows his father sharks with laser beams attached to their heads. They tell each other they love each other, and Dr. Evil has Scott sit next to him and tells everybody to get out, and then tells everyone who is about to leave to stay. And this goes on like whenever Scott goes to get up, he says, "Not you," and he says, "Not Frau," "Not number two," "Not you, random people working over there," and "Not you turning knobs," which is pretty decent, but it goes on for a little too long, in my opinion. Dr. Evil and Scott stare directly at Mini-Me, who can't take the hint, and Mini-Me sadly rolls away on his electronic chair, but he flips him off as he goes, and that was actually pretty funny just because of Dr. Evil's reaction to it. He definitely didn't expect to be flipped off. Basil calls Austin and Foxy, and he confirms Fat Bastard was telling them the truth. He also tells them that the head of Roboto Industries helped Dr. Evil, so Austin and Foxy head to the company's headquarters in Tokyo. Well, Austin and Foxy meet Mr. Roboto. Foxy and Roboto speak to each other in Japanese, and he offers Austin shit. And after Foxy moves the mini sushi bar down the table a little bit, we actually see he offered him shiitake mushrooms. So we're acknowledging captions in the movie, or at least Austin and Foxy are. Austin asks about his father, and we get more caption wordplay before Roboto finally decides to speak in English. He tells them he can't help them, and they leave. Austin and Foxy know he is lying, so they decide to stay on the premises and sneak around to see what they can find while Roboto calls and lets the crew know Austin is there. While running through the lobby to the factory, Austin accidentally trips over a cord that goes to an angel fountain that is meant to look like it is pissing. Some alleged comedy as Austin pisses to make it look like the thing is still going when the guard occasionally looks over to it. Eventually, Austin gets it plugged back in, but is discovered by the guard, and Austin is able to take him out. In the control room, some of the workers watch while Foxy enters and takes out another guard. The pair then enter the factory where Goldmember and Roboto are making final preparations to the Preparation H. Foxy gets the drop on Goldmember, but Goldmember has Austin's father on a conveyor belt going toward what looks to be melting steel, but it's probably gold. Goldmember is able to get away from Foxy, and Nigel flirts with Foxy, much to Austin's annoyance, while they rescue him. Nigel uses his watch to make his car come to him, and the three pursue Goldmember. Nigel and Austin argue and eventually crash into a Godzilla-looking parade float. Goldmember makes it back to the sub, and it departs before Austin, Foxy, and Nigel can make it on. Austin and Nigel argue in the bay over how to pursue Dr. Evil, which eventually brings Austin back to all the things his father did to him that hurt him as a child. And the father and son decide to go their separate ways. The next morning at Austin's hotel, Number 3 officially welcomes Mini-Me to the team. Mini-Me defected after Dr. Evil's dismissal of him. Number 3 steps out to take a call from Basil when Austin walks in to find Mini-Me holding a letter opener he was using, to open a letter. Austin is unaware of Mini-Me's defection, and the pair have a comedy fight. And I'm going a little bit side note here. Austin punts Mini-Me into the fridge, and when the fridge opens, Mini-Me grabs a bottle out to smash it to make a sharp object with, because Austin had a bottle or a letter opener or something. I saw some cans of Pepsi Twist in that fridge, which was a short-lived soda, but I found it delicious as a kid. And it was launched for summers beginning in 2000, and eventually was discontinued in the summer of 2002. The Pepsi Twist had a lemon in it. It was Pepsi with a twist of lemon. And this was during an era where soda companies would introduce new flavors all the time during summer. Mountain Dew Code Red came out the summer before this. My personal favorite Mountain Dew was LiveWire, which came out the summer of 2003. However, I will always remember the summer of 02 for my favorite soda that was introduced that summer, Vanilla Coke. It was fucking awesome. However, I don't drink soda that much anymore because, how bad that shit is for you. But talking about it made me extremely thirsty for one, but let's get back to Austin Powers. This bullshit's almost over, finally. Austin and Mini-Me continue their comedy brawl while Number 3 continues his phone call. Number 3 comes back in and informs Austin Mini-Me has joined the team. Number 3 also insists Austin just get making fun of his mole out of his system, which he does. Austin does more comedy with the mole. We see Austin and Foxy driving with Mini-Me dressed up like Austin in the back seat. Mini-Me passes notes to them, hitting on Foxy, of course, with hers. When they get close to the water, Austin hits a button on his car that turns it into a submarine. Not sure why I couldn't have just went and got that car last night, but whatever. Dr. Evil calls the World Organization. He does the usual telling them his plan and demanding money. After they try to say he is bluffing, he does a demonstration. But Dr. Evil pulls a satellite out of orbit that looks like tits. And we get tit wordplay here, much like the dick wordplay last film. And it's here we get the Aussie and family cameo. We see Austin's car attached to the bottom of the sub as he, Mini-Me, and Foxy enter. And I kind of wonder where they got, like, the mini scuba gear for Mini-Me. Whatever. And we get some comedy of Mini-Me humping Foxy's leg. Back in the control room, Roboto requests a bonus from Dr. Evil, so Scott, who has the world's worst comb over at this point, hits a button and drops Roboto into the laser-headed shark tank. Austin and Mini-Me find a disguise, but because there is only one, Austin wears it and sits on Mini-Me's shoulders. You try to get the figure out the physics of that, and we get this visual comedy as they walk down the hall with them crashing into everything. The doctor pops open the door and orders Austin inside for a henchman physical. When the doctor demands a piss sample, Austin hands Mini-Me a bottle of apple juice and he spits it out, and it looks like Austin's just spraying piss everywhere. The doctor calls another sailor in to give a urine sample, and Austin and Mini-Me head behind a white sheet. And Mini-Me points at a map and it looks like Austin's penis is bouncing it on the from the side of the screen, and Mini-Me has an apple and he throws it up to Austin, and more visual comedy, much like the tent. The doctor goes to check on Austin, and then he catches Mini-Me tied to Austin's front and from the other side of the sheet when Mini-Me slides down his body. It looks like Austin is giving birth, because he had Mini-Me tied to him using an IV bag and some of the tubing. When the doctor pulls a gun on them, Mini-Me grabs the map and runs into the ventilation system. Foxy hears someone making noise in the ventilation shaft and opens it just in time for Mini-Me to come sliding through it at a high rate of speed and crash into the wall. Austin is taken to Dr. Evil's main room of the sub and Dr. Evil intends to throw Austin in with the freaking sharks with the freaking laser beams attached to their freaking heads. However, when he goes to open the box that has the key in it, because he's going to start the process before he does this to Austin, the key isn't there. Foxy and Mini-Me come in, gun aimed at Dr. Evil, and Foxy hands Austin a gun and he aims it at Dr. Evil as well. It seems Austin may take Dr. Evil out here, but before he can do that, Nigel shows up. Nigel tells Austin he must protect his son, and he steps in front of Dr. Evil. Nigel then recounts the complete tale of the little flashback we got from Dr. Evil earlier. Nigel, his wife, Austin, and Dr. Evil were on a vacation, and they pulled over so Nigel could take a piss. While he was doing that, his wife turned on the radio and the car exploded. This was a hit job on Nigel, an attempted hit job on Nigel. Nigel tells Dr. Evil he thought only Austin survived, but years ago when he learned of Dr. Evil's existence, he wanted to tell him, but didn't because of how evil he was. Dr. Evil says he will wait and fact gather before comically falling into Nigel's arms, crying and saying daddy over and over. Nigel keeps asking Austin what he is going to do. Austin lowers his gun and seems to get with the idea pretty quickly, even though Foxy is skeptical. We get an overly dramatic hugging scene between Nigel, Austin, and Dr. Evil then joins. And Mini-Me ends up joining this as well. Scott breaks it up saying how pissed he is at his dad and he runs out like a jackass. Goldmember shows up and says he doesn't care about Dr. Evil's change of heart. He still plans on blowing up the world. Or flooding the world, actually. Foxy corners him and Goldmember taunts her about killing her partner. She tosses the key she acquired into the shark tank, but it turns out Goldmember's member is also a spare key. He gets Foxy's gun and holds her hostage. Dr. Evil says he can reroute the missile if they can get to a power box. Austin and Ducky, as Nigel took to calling him, take off while Nigel backs him up. And this is another big bone of contention between Austin and his dad, as Nigel feels the need to be a star and can never just support Austin, so this is kind of that, letting Austin get the glory here. Dr. Evil is able to reroute the tractor beam after taking some fire from Goldmember. The reversal of power electrocutes Goldmember. After Austin and crew congratulate each other, Foxy goes to arrest Goldmember, and when he turns around to face them, it's John Travolta in the Goldmember getup, and we cut to Austin and Foxy watching this in a movie theater. Dr. Evil and Mini-Me are there as well. So is Fat Bastard, who lost a lot of weight by going on the same diet as Jarrett from Subway. I won't touch that one, just like Jarrett shouldn't have touched a lot of things. That doesn't age well. Foxy thanks Austin, and they share a lip lock. We pan up and see fireworks. And we then go to Dr. Evil's lair and see Scott looking a lot and acting a lot like his father. We get credits with some Aussie bloopers along with Mini-Me flirting with Brittany. The positives: this franchise is finally fucking over. Beyoncé had a good performance, and this movie was a lot more palatable than the first one, but I don't think it's quite as good as the second one. Negatives: I hate the twist that Austin and Dr. Evil are brothers, but otherwise it was fine. It was just kind of meh. Overall, I give it a thumbs in the middle. It was okay, but to tell you the truth, I'm so fucking happy to be done with this franchise. I get that these movies have its dedicated group of fans, but I wouldn't consider myself amongst them. I just don't think they age particularly well. But this is probably the easiest one to watch. Mike Myers had been trying to get a fourth one made for years, and allegedly Mini-Me was going to start talking in it because he had been mute in the first two movies. But with Myers being unable to get it made, and Verne Troyer's 2018 death has cast doubt on the project. Everyone still wants to make it, but it just hasn't happened. It's been 18 years. Austin Powers fans are just going to have to wait and see. For me personally, these movies should stay in the late 90s and early 2000s where they belong. Now that the Austin Powers franchise is wrapped up, I've been thinking about what to do next, and I'm kind of in that summer mood, and in the mood to go camping. Now, one thing about summer is, if this was a normal year, some kids would be going out to summer camp. So I think what I plan on doing is getting a little slice of camp from home, since I'm sure some campgrounds are open, but I get it from home, and I also love Fridays because who doesn't? So when you combine summer camp and Fridays, you get Friday the 13th. We're gonna have a summer full of Fridays, all 10 of the original franchise. I reviewed Freddy vs. Jason last year when I did the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, and TK will join me on a few of those, and we'll look at the individual movies, the franchise as a whole, and why it's been 10 plus years since we have last seen Jason Voorhees on the big screen. So join me right here at the Leighton Cassette Podcast next week, and don't forget to like on Facebook and follow on Twitter.